We bring in Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News down in South Beach. Chase, how's the weather down there?
Tell you what, I bought a popsicle on the beach yesterday. How about that? Does that tell you all you need to know?
That tells me enough.
Right off an ice cream truck, and he was doing business.
Where have you ate at so far? What's a good? I know I can't think of the sushi spot I've been to down there, but they have some amazing restaurants out there. What's one spot you've got to eat at?
I'm not a sushi guy. I did have an authentic Cuban meal that was really good, but so busy from morning to night, writing and working and then writing some more. A lot of the meals I've had have ended up being hotel hospitality meals where the media's at.
And Chase, I think that's where some fans have a misconception about going and covering these type of events, is the fact that, and maybe more so people that actually work in the building that you work in, they think that when you go to a bowl game, it's all fun and games. But it's a lot of work.
Well, I mean, people say that sometimes reporters get grief because they get access to hospitality food from time to time. That's all well and good, but for a lot of us, including me, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't eat for a couple days or that busy.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Chase, let's go back to January the 2nd when both teams touched down there in South Florida. Up until now, it's game time, it's game day, it's ready to go, the talk is over. What's been your assessment of the way the teams have handled this week?
Obviously, Alabama had a hiccup with a meeting that Saban mentioned yesterday that was reported a couple of days ago that some players had shown a lack of focus or whatever, and they sent two of them home, a couple of freshmen who were never going to play. But they sent those two guys home, and Saban said yesterday that after they got grabbed everybody's attention, it's been fine since. So it's not the only focus issue there's been on either side, I suppose.
Chase, when you look at this matchup, Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News joining us here on Overtime, what do you think stands out? Is it going to be like I hear people talking about the fact of it's going to be one in the trenches with the offensive and defensive lines of these two teams?
I mean, you're not. I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yeah, I was asking you if you think that, like what we're hearing, is this game is going to be one in the trenches with the offensive and defensive lines. Do you see the game going that way?
I do. I kind of have since they set the matchup. I think Alabama's offensive front is obviously one to watch, especially with Barrett Jones at center not being 100% with his ankle that he busted in the Georgia game. That's a huge matchup for sure. And, if you flip it around, Notre Dame's ability or inability to run the ball on Alabama's front seven is going to play huge too.
When Saban said that the head coach, Brian Kelly, does well with his personnel, and didn't really say, that they're going to give us all these problems, was that kind of a backhanded compliment? Has that kind of caused any fire between them two?
I don't think so. No, I think it's there's really not been I don't think all that stuff amounts to much for a lot of these guys personally, even if they try to make it. There's the motivation here on both sides is probably bigger than that,
Could you see, is Saban, do you think he's going to continue with, and nobody knows, but his regular game plan, do you think it for passing it's going to be, play action? Is he going to try to throw the ball a little bit first to kind of soften him up? Or do you think he just thinks that his talent will and just start pounding and run away?
I think that offensively you are going to see a good bit of play action, no doubt about it. You always do, especially when the offense is operating well. Rushing wise, yes, it kind of varies. Sometimes they come out throwing with a lot of three wide receiver sets and maybe even a couple of four wide receiver sets. We saw it a little more last year than this year, but sometimes they'll try to kind of go spread on teams right out of the gate to get some quick points, but then they can change colors and then on the very next series and be pounding it. So
that being said, does he usually script his first 10 or 15 plays?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I don't know if it goes 15 deep. I think 8 to 10 is probably about the max with Alabama's script. I guess that probably varies from coach to coach. But, yeah, they'll have a script just so they can get Notre Dame's, three, four different Notre Dame defensive sets on the field so they can get a look at them, maybe try to pick on somebody if they think they can pick on somebody, see how that works, and go from there.
Chase, I was in New Orleans last year for the BCS National Championship game, and obviously that had a nice flavor to it with LSU and Alabama, the first ever all-SEC, first ever same teams in the same conference BCS final game. And how is this one different? Besides the fact that it's in South Beach, it's away from the campuses, but the fact that it's probably two of the most storied traditions in college football, Notre Dame and Alabama, going head-to-head.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine what the TV ratings are going to be. They're going to be absolutely massive. I was talking to somebody about this a little bit earlier. On top of the tradition side story, I think you've also got the interest is even higher because there's a lot of haters out there for both of these schools. Okay? Like, there's plenty of Alabama haters from coast to coast. There's plenty of Notre Dame haters, too,
right,
who might not otherwise have a huge interest in the game at all, but they just want to hate on somebody.
Kind of like the Yankees when they play in the World Series. It's just that's going to bring extra attention to it.
You either like them or you don't.
Right. That's, you put two teams like that together in a game of this magnitude, and I think the TV ratings might blow people away.
I think they will, too, and we're probably about 10 hours, maybe a little bit more than 10 hours away from knowing who the national champion is. Chase, if you had to look into your crystal ball, what do you see happening tonight on the field? Who wins?
At Tuscaloosa News this morning, in the morning paper, of course, we pick it every game. I picked it 24-9 Alabama. That I think it's could be a 14-9 kind of game well into the fourth quarter. I see Notre Dame playing good defense. I see Notre Dame being right there with a chance to win the game in the second half. I do think Alabama's ultimately going to be able to run away at the end a little bit because I think Notre Dame's offense is just going to struggle and give, maybe at some point break. But, a couple turnovers could change all that.
Do you think Barrett Jones plays the whole game? And if he doesn't, will his backup be ready?
That's a fantastic question. I think Barrett's not 100%. There's no question about that. That's pretty obvious. Does he go the whole game? Who knows? He's dealing with something that could, that you would think could be easily aggravated, say that much. So that matchup right there is one to watch. What was the other question?
Well, and his backup obviously is not going to be as good. Barrett Jones might be one of the best offensive linemen to come through Bama, at least with the awards and accolades that he's got. Who is his backup? Is he a freshman, sophomore, or would they change somebody else?
Young kid, it's a young kid named Ryan Kelly. He's your next center at Alabama. He'll take over next year. He's a little undersized at 285, or at least he feels undersized. He wants to get up around 300, where Alabama centers seem to have been for a while. But he's got quick feet and he's a good athlete, maybe not as strong at the point of attack. And maybe that's why he's looking to get a few add a few pounds before next year. But yeah, if Barrett Jones goes down, it's step up time for that kid for sure.
And he's a redshirt freshman stepping into the national championship game.
Yeah, redshirt freshman or third year sophomore one. I'd have to look at that. But he's a young kid. I know he's wearing a red shirt of some kind.
Real quick, is Trevor Mohad been there and been a part of this? Do you know who that is?
Trevor,
yeah, the guy from IMG that's like a mental consultant for the team. Is he still with them?
Not familiar with him.
Okay, cool.
They do have, Alabama works with Kevin Elko a little bit, who's a motivational speaker. You may know of him. And they bring in some speakers from time to time. That one's new to me.
Okay.
Chase, last year Nick Saban left the team in the downtown hotel that they had stayed at all week there in New Orleans. Did he do the same thing, or did they move to a different hotel last night to get away from where they were staying, or did he keep them there on purpose?
I don't think he left, at least not that I know of. It's a little difficult for me to keep an eye on those things because they've got the media in Fort Lauderdale, north of Miami. And so, excuse me, it's a little harder for the media to keep up with you know, something like that. But as far as I know, nothing out of the ordinary on Alabama's end.
Except the fact that he did have ESPN pulled from the hotel so that none of his players could watch it.
I saw something about that on Twitter. That made me scratch my head. I didn't know that was even possible. That you can go to a tech and say, hey, I want this channel and this channel and that channel yanked out of 100 rooms, but all the other rooms can still have it.
Well, it's called that parental controls, correct?
Can you do that on a channel like ESPN now? I guess you can.
Hey, if Nick Saban can find a way to do it, he's going to do it.
I've heard of players actually taking the whole TV out or getting the cable just completely turned off, all the channels, and setting up your PlayStation or something where you can play video games, but not wanting to be distracted. And I've heard of them also not reading newspaper articles and stuff, but just getting that one channel out there. That's pretty crazy.
I've heard stories of pro athletes, millionaires, who would never need to save 10 or 20 bucks, but just to do it, just to have fun, I guess, they will sometimes get back behind a hotel TV and, you know, maybe add a box or rearrange some wires or have something in their suitcase that can help them do it so they can get movies in hotels on the road without paying for them.
Oh, my gosh. Too much. Chase, thanks so much for joining us, and have fun covering another national championship game tonight.
Y'all take it easy.